Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Let's go there.
Starts now.
Hello, happy Tuesday. It's Shira and Ryan, of course, from Let's Go There, the show to listen to every single day.
Yes, Shira, you're back.
I'm back.
Yep. Oh my goodness.
The voice of reason is back.
Okay, now look. You were literally, I'm not doing it. This is just another day, another moment where Shira's like, you know what? I need to get in shape.
You know what? That is not fair. I do. I feel like I was doing really well. You know,
I
wasted all my money on a trainer.
You literally have no body
and now
fat.
I understand why. No, I know. I'm not. I said this to Ryan before.
Could you move that mic out of your face? I can't see you. I want to see your face.
Just listen to my voice.
I miss
like
you.
Everyone else.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. What I was going to say is, and don't be judgmental about this.
Nothing.
I can't move it. I need an intern to move this mic for me. I'm lazy and it's heavy.
Oh, God.
So I preface this to Ryan in the most, I don't know, trying to be sensitive about it.
Of course you were.
Because I know we all have. That's the thing is, when you talk to someone about how you feel your weights, you realize
that you were trying to be sensitive because you know I'm a fat person and you don't want to be like, person. Like
I didn't want to be the skinny person complaining about how I feel. I'm not complaining really about my weight, but I do feel like I know I haven't been working out. I've been in like...
Everyone needs to have, like, if you feel like there's points where you're not as healthy as you used to be.
Yeah, that's
then, okay,
how I feel.
That's fine. That is totally
fine. And it's not like as much about the food. I feel like maybe it is a bit because it's not like I ever cook at home. I barely have a home.
Oh my God.
Let's
first
be clear
of all,
about
Shira
that.
Barely has anything in her refrigerator. I think the last time I was over there was just pickles in there and
I'm
bread.
Like a frat boy.
Yes, honestly.
Basically, and beer.
Yes, and beer.
And a Bloody Mary mix.
You okay. Have everything you need for a good happy
a
hour.
A lot of liquor. Okay.
A
liquid
a good
diet.
Brunch. A very good brunch. If you want to go to Shira's house for a brunch, she has that.
But yeah, I have not been working out and I'm starting to feel it. It's you know, whether it be yoga or jogging or just using weights.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm not at my tip top shape right now.
I get that. And you know what? I think it's all about, and that's what's going into this new decade. Mm-hmm. We are going into new things like body positivity.
I know,
like,
and I
get to your space where you feel like comfortable and you love your body. I think that's so fine. I don't look at that from a point where, you know, skinny people, if they feel like, you know, they're skinny and they want to get to a certain spot and they want to still just be healthy, that's anyone's choice. We all are able to, we have to like our body. We have to like who we are.
Although I was going to say
it's
something, this is a bit TMI.
What? Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I shouldn't
say it.
Well, I
oh,
did.
God.
All right. So I did have sex recently.
All right.
And there was a mirror, and I looked at my body, and it looked good.
Okay. See, there you go. Actually, that is everything.
And I was like,
that is everything.
Look at my body. So I do feel. But
yes, ma'am.
But all right. On the other side of that,
uh-huh.
I do feel like I could do better because it doesn't feel good. You know, my hips pop.
You know what, honey? If you look at yourself while you getting it, and you like, yes, I don't know who that girl is, but that's the
like,
one.
I was like, that ain't cool. Anyway.
You got that self-reflection.
TMI, but you know what? We've all been, I know
that's
I'm not alone.
No, Shira, that's what Mulan was talking about in that movie when she was talking about her reflection. Who is this girl I see? That's you looking in the mirror.
Oh, my lord.
Let's get into the headlines because I don't know where we were going.
Well, just look at yourself in the mirror and enjoy yourself, whether it be alone or with someone else.
If you don't like your body while having sex, I feel like you will, you know, maybe someone does because clearly you're having sex.
All right.
Having way more sex than me.
Oh, my God. Once again, I come in and I go there.
Oh, God.
So let's get into some what's trending in the news
let's
right now,
do
top
it.
Of
let's
the hour,
do it.
As I reflect on my mom and my boss is listening to that.
Yep.
So, Merriam-Webster has named their word of the year, has come out with their word of the year for 2019.
What oh, really?
Yes.
I don't know. I was
about to reveal it, but I wanted to do a little, you know, tease.
Is it some word that Donald Trump spelled by accident?
No.
Okay.
Thank God.
What is it?
It's they.
Oh,
gender-neutral
like the pronoun?
They.
Oh,
word of the year
yes.
for 2019.
That's
and
everything.
The searches for the pronoun increased by 313% over the previous year. Because a lot of people are probably wondering, what does they mean? Is it okay? You know what? Because there's a lot of people, while we're in the community, there's a lot of people that don't get it. So that creates more awareness around it, which is great. So they was added earlier this year, but they also chose it over terms like quid pro quo. That was up 644% from last year. And that would have been,
well, of course,
from Donald Trump.
And that just happened recently.
Yeah. So I'm happy they chose a term that we should remember.
For sure. But let's get into like the politics sides of everything.
Yeah, speaking of which, honey. Attorney General William Barr said he still believes the FBI may have operated out of bad faith while they investigated the Trump campaign and how it colluded with Russia. And he says the FBI acted improperly by continuing the investigation after Trump took office. Here's what he had to say to on NBC News in an exclusive interview, actually.
I think the heart of the IG's report really focused on how the investigation was conducted once it got going, and that is especially the very serious abuses of FISA that occurred, much of which has been, in my view, not accurately reported by the press over the last day. But in one area, I do disagree with the IG, and that was whether there was sufficient predication to open a full-blown counterintelligence investigation.
Once again, William Barr showing his alliances to Donald Trump.
That's definitely what he's doing, and it's all fake news. I think he's just under the...
Do not use fake news.
The hand of Donald Trump, his BFF, because okay. It's a mess.
Yes, so let's move on to what's happening with the impeachment. House Democrats officially announced two articles of impeachment against President Trump. Today. One charge focused on abuse of power and another related to obstruction of Congress. We'll be getting into that right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, let's get into this, shall we? House Democrats officially announced two articles of impeachment against President Trump this morning. One, abuse of power tied to his demand that the Ukrainian president investigate a political rival, a.k.a. Joe Biden. And two, obstructing Congress in its effort to investigate the behavior. Okay, so Jerry Nadler made this announcement. He announced the articles during a news conference on Capitol Hill.
Today, in service to our duty to the Constitution and to our country, the House Committee on the Judiciary is introducing two articles of impeachment charging the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with committing high crimes and misdemeanors. The first article is for abuse of power. It is an impeachable offense for the President to exercise the powers of his public office to obtain an improper personal benefit while ignoring or in injuring the national interest.
That was House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler. Now we've got one of our favorites, Richard Fowler, joining us from Fox News. And you can follow him on Instagram at Richard A. Fowler. Welcome back as we get into this.
It's good to be with you guys. How are you?
You know, we're good. This is entertaining, to say the least.
Well, it's also stressful. I feel like I tweeted this out earlier. You know, this week has been such a exhausting news week and politics week. And it's literally only Tuesday.
Oh, exhausting is an understatement. This week has been a roller coaster ride, if you could only write for television. But it's not television, y'all. It's real life. And here we are. So for folks who are listening and just tuning in for the first time.
Yeah.
So what we found out this morning was that the House will proceed with two articles of impeachment against the president, one on obstruction of Congress and another on an abuse of power. Now, this article will be debated. The final part of this article will be debated tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern time, in which every member will get 5 minutes to lay out their case mm-hmm. on why the president should impeach.
But then it goes to Senate, right? If that goes through, it goes to Senate, but that's controlled by the Republicans, 53-47 majority. They hold a trial that will likely begin next year, but
yeah.
A two-thirds majority vote is required to remove a president. And realistically, is that going to happen?
We'll have to wait and see. I think that is what we're going to have to wait for, right? We're going to have to wait and see. Right now, we just found breaking news that Mitt Romney is a potential He said he's open-minded. So yes, we'll see what happens.
I was just about to say
to what?
That. To convicting Trump.
Okay.
Yeah, so I do think that's interesting, especially someone of Mitt Romney's caliber to say something like that on the Republican side. But I do, you know, wonder, when we hear these things for our listeners, they're hearing, okay, the articles of impeachment have happened, all that stuff. You know, Trump's closer getting kicked out of the White House. But realistically, this is a very long process, correct?
It is a long process, and I mean, we'll still have to wait for a Senate trial, and then after the Senate trial, the Senate will then vote on whether or not they want to remove the president from office. So you can be impeached and then be acquitted of your impeachment, and then you stay in office. So we'll have to see what happens. If I were a betting man and the Senate were to vote today, I would say in all likelihood President Trump would stay in office. Mm-hmm. So that's if I'm a betting man. He needs about, I think it's roughly 17 or 16 Republicans to join him. To join Democrats and say in voting for impeachment if Democrats decide to do that, right? And I think that what you're going to see tomorrow is the House really lay out their case as to why they feel this president is worthy of being impeached, or I guess worth less of being impeached. You get my drift.
Yeah. So let's go to Trump's response, because he did say this, his camp. For months, Nancy Pelosi said she wouldn't move forward on impeachment because it was too divisive and needed bipartisan support. Well, it is divisive and only the Democrats are pushing it, but she's doing it anyway. Americans don't agree with this rank partisanship, but Democrats are putting on this political theater because they don't have a viable candidate for 2020 and they know it. So what do you think about this response and other Republicans saying this entire thing has just been biased from the beginning, not based on evidence?
Well, listen, this idea, Republicans are now, they've continued to move around this. First, they picked apart the process, then they talked about the whistleblower. But this was all, the best way to really think about this is that the facts are very clear in this case. No matter how you look at this, here's what we know. The president, this is the fact that everybody agrees on, even though Republicans don't want to agree to the fact that everybody agrees on.
Right.
Right. The president got on a call on July 25th. Prior to that call on July 25th, the president withheld congressional aid, allocated money that was approved by a bipartisan, bicameral Congress for Ukraine. That aid was withheld. The president got on a call. The White House released a transcript, and on said call, the president asked for the new Ukrainian prime minister to look into and investigate Joe Biden and Joe Biden's son. And that is clearly in the transcript. He also, and I think this is a big part of this case, and one of the big players here that's very important to focus attention is Rudy Giuliani. Mm-hmm. He also indicts Rudy Giuliani and says, you need to talk to my personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, about this. All of the evidence we heard from Ambassador Sondland, all the evidence we heard from the former Ukrainian ambassador, all speaks to the fact of that same nature, right? Like, all speaks to the fact that Rudy Giuliani was trying to dig up dirt on Joe Biden.
Yeah.
They were trying. He was the sort of back office dude for Donald Trump to get his dirt done.
We need to go to so many questions, including where Adam Schiff was yesterday.
But we don't have time. So, Shira, don't even try.
So much. We need to go, Richard. Can you, like, slide in my DMs and let me know?
Yes, do that.
I will slide in your DMs and I'll let you know, Shira.
Okay. Thanks again to Richard Fowler for joining us for all those updates. You can watch him on Fox News all the time and also follow him on Instagram at Richard A. Fowler. Have a great night.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're moving into top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. So what's the tea, Ryan?
All right, honey, would you ever, Shira, this is a question for you. Would you ever call out your boss? Well, that's what happened.
I think I have maybe before, but in a nice way. I always do it in a nice way, and I like my boss.
Well, that's not what happened with Real Housewife NeNe Links and Andy Cohen. Honey, I'm spilling the tea. Coming up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So we are back with What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And first things first, you know, we are doing a major New Year's Eve giveaway with the one and only Lizzo, because we love her here at Channel Q. She loves us here at Channel Q. I mean, she came on our show here at Let's Go There. I'm telling you, we're all like the homies. Well, guess what? We're hooking you up for New Year's Eve. If you don't have anything to do, well, here's your chance. Visit wearechannelq.com for your chance to win a trip for two to win a trip for two to Vegas with airfare, hotel, tickets, plus a meet and greet with Lizzo. I'm telling you, this is like the best gift ever. It's one of those things where this is, you normally don't get the hookup like this. Like, this is moment.
This is exclusive.
It really is. So it's an online contest only. I'm telling you, you can only find the details on wearechannelq.com. You get round trip airfare, two night hotel stay at the Cosmopolitan. Then you get two tickets to the concert December 31st, two meet and greet passes, and then you get $1,000 shopping spree at Dia and Company. So I'm telling you, you all hooked up and good to go.
Yeah, we deserve that.
Period. Wearechannelq.com. Head over there to find out all the deets.
By the way, if Lizzo was smart, she would start a thong line.
Okay.
FYI, business. Think about the business.
I love that. And I love that you
brought
that
back. It's a bit of a what's the tea topic.
Yeah, but that's not what we're about to talk about.
I'm just letting
now.
You know.
Yes, it's been
on my mind.
I bet you it has. But no, this is actually very interesting. We got to dive into what's trending. What's the tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day.
That is trending.
So, right, that is trending. Always put it back. So, NeNe Leakes, you know, Real Housewife Atlanta. I don't know if you watch that show, Sheer.
I mean, I know of her name, but it's not like I watch it day to day.
Well, I love this because, one, she is not happy with her boss, Andy Cohen, after what she saw go down on Sunday's nights, his little talk show, his afternoon, his late night talk show. It's called Watch What Happens Live. Well, you know, Andy had basically someone that is not really good friends with NeNe on, Eva Marcel. She's also a housewife. She was one of Andy's guests. But after he shined a light on the fact that NeNe wore one of the season's confessional looks to a previous Bravo event. So basically, he called her out for outfit repeating.
So he called out NeNe.
He called out NeNe for outfit repeating.
That is just rude.
So here's what, you know, I'm going to play the clip of it. I want us to figure out if we think he was being shady or not. Okay, here we go.
By the way, one of NeNe's confessional looks this year is the same dress she wore to our big doorbell show in LA where the strap broke. So I guess she fixed her strap, which we love. You know what? We just love our eagle-eyed researchers here. Why, was that shady?
Huh? Oh my God.
I didn't mean for that to be shady.
You're just like me. I didn't mean to, but sometimes
it's okay. So he was most definitely being shady.
Yeah,
I feel like that.
I feel like that was more on the producers that thought it'd be a funny call out. Because then it would make her embarrassed and then maybe it would start something.
She's not even, first of all, NeNe's not even there, and then he's doing it in the presence of like one of her like arch nemesis on the show.
She's gonna be like, let's make fun of her.
This is actually what she had to say. Yeah. So she said this. She said, can someone please tell me what the point was to this. Like, I don't get it. And she said, that was 2 years ago. I wore this dress once so I can sit in a confessional look with it. How many times have you recycled your suits and ties? Pointless. #messies. Why do you even care? It's enough that we Real Housewives of Atlanta ladies come for each other. Now we have to worry about executives coming for us too. I mean coming for me. It's not cool. Weren't you interviewing those girls? What you mad about? Y'all stay coming for me. But as soon as I say something or do something, I'm wrong. I don't appreciate this at all.
There's so many thoughts on this. It's layered.
Okay,
one,
well,
because
give me one, and then we're going to take it to the next break.
Well, it goes back to Andy is obsessed with himself as talent, but in the end, he's an exec, and he forgets about that.
Yes. See, the lines are blurred.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue this conversation.
It's sexist, too. We'll get into that.
We're going to dive into that coming up right next. You know, we're still spilling the tea on What's the Tea.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
By the way, one of NeNe's confessional looks this year is the same dress she wore to our big doorbell show in L.A. where the strap broke. So I guess she fixed her strap, which we love. You know what? We just love our eagle-eyed researchers here. Why, was that shady?
Huh? Oh, my God.
I didn't mean for that to be shady.
You're just like me. I didn't mean to, but sometimes it comes out shady.
Okay.
So we are back with What's the Tea, entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And I wanted to replay that clip of Andy Cohen because, you know, we were talking and discussing how NeNe Leakes of the Real Housewives of Atlanta, I mean, the star of that show, really put that show on the map. She felt very upset by, you know, Andy Cohen kind of pointing this out on live television that she kind of like repeated her outfit like there was something wrong with that.
It was catty.
And you know, like, you mentioned something, Shira, before the break that I think is so true. And on the lines of being, you know, LGBTQ as a gay man, Andy Cohen is gay, obviously. And he oftentimes, gay men, I feel like, act like they can't be misogynist. They can't be misogynist. Like, they can't, like, be misogynistic.
Because if they're in a, they're a minority group, but doesn't mean they can't
it's because
also.
I don't think they see themselves as that because they're, like, you know, there's always the GBF. And when you think about the trans conversation when it comes to trans women,
yeah.
Oftentimes trans women feel that way where they feel like they're not even part of the conversation because of women and all these different things, that being a woman and it's intersectional. But I do think this was a clear moment where I think Andy always forgets that he is an exec. He is someone that is not just a talent and he can just make fun and be shady.
He likes
moments.
To play into
cute.
The gay shady guy.
I don't like, and I think that's why, you know, remember when Tytus Burgess was on his show and there was the whole thing, we talked about it here on the show, Tytus Burgess was like, you know what? I'm not about to fool with you when you're messy. Like, I don't like that. And it does.
Yeah.
You have to call people out like that because Andy's trying to do a job. He's going to try to get his ratings and all these things.
He also forgets, I think, that these are people. It's not just entertainment.
Right.
And I think it also goes back to a bit of a sexist conversation where, yeah, how many times do guys wear the same thing? They never get called out. Yet women feel this pressure like they always need to have a new outfit. They always need to stay up to date. And also, by the way, Andy, if you want to talk about saving the environment, it's actually better to not buy new clothes. You should be rewearing the clothes that you have.
Okay.
I'm saying that as someone. And also, who knows about the money situation this person has? By calling someone out, you're also saying, like, oh, you don't have enough money to buy new clothes or get a stylist?
But
it's lame.
Sure, let's be realistic here. There are housewives and they're worth millions of dollars at this point.
Are they if they're cast?
Yes. Are you kidding me?
You know what's going on behind closed doors.
Yes, you do. They always are talking about, and you see the show and the whole
premise.
Well,
then good on her for rewearing stuff.
You've never seen housewives. Because
no, some people got, didn't they get hit for tax evasion or something?
No, see,
there was someone in LA that did. I know. At any rate, all I'm saying is, and more more credit to her that she has a lot of money and she's reusing and rewearing instead of buying new stuff. I think that is accessible, and I feel like you go, girl. Because you know what I'm doing right now? I looked back at a Christmas photo from last year, and I'm wearing the same outfit. So there you, I'm one of them.
But you're also not a millionaire, so
how do you know
here's
that?
Here's the thing.
Andy Cohen would have quickly called me out, and I would have called him out.
But I just think it's a little gross in times, and I think the lines are blurred because Andy does, you know, he is on these, he handles everything from the reunions, and it's funny when the host is kind of shady. But here's an update, actually, of the story. After this whole moment went viral, a fan tagged Andy on Twitter writing, you know it was shady, and he actually replied with one of Nene's most infamous questions. Quotes saying, I said what I said, and hours later, in a solo tweet, Nene replied back and said, what you said was some BS. And it was. It really was quite disrespectful, and I
honestly
don't.
It's disrespectful, and also, I'm telling you, women feel very pressured and stressed about outfits, including if you're in the public eye on red carpets, and because of that, we waste so much money, and we are like hoarders. I've talked to other women about this. We all have way too much stuff, and it's because of people like Andy Cohen who keep on calling us out on wearing the same thing that we continue, that pressure is continued. So we got to stop it here. Going into the new decade, let's start a movement, and we don't need to buy more stuff just because people call us out and wearing the same outfits.
Yes. Well, if you want to know more about this story, head over to wearechannelq.com and make sure I'm always spilling on what's the tea.
Ryan was not into it.
What's coming up?
Well, obviously not more of that. Ryan, we were born in the wrong time.
Yes.
You know why?
Yes.
Because the SAT and ACT may soon be no more. What some university students are doing to fight standardized tests, coming up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
All right, so if you want to go check out Lizzo for New Year's Eve in Vegas, you better listen up, open them ears, get the Q-tips, clean them out. Because, honey, visit wearechannelq.com for your chance to win a trip for two to Vegas with airfare, hotel tickets, plus a meet and greet with the one and only Lizzo. You get round-trip airfare. You get a two-night hotel stay at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. You get two tickets with Lizzo to go. I think the concert's happening December 31st, which means you're literally partying into the new decade. To the new decade with Lizzo. You get 2 meet and greet passes with the queen, and then you get a $1,000 shopping spree at Dia and Co. So I'm telling you, this is an online contest only. It's a national contest, and you gotta be 21 and older to win, but you can only find the information on our website at wearechannelq.com.
Okay, let's get into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. So you know Elizabeth Smart, the young woman that went through 9 months of hell when she was kidnapped in 2002. She was very young then. Well, now her father, Ed Smart, is opening up about struggling with his own private war with his sexuality. He came out as gay earlier this year. He spoke to Gail King on CBS This Morning yesterday, and the 64-year-old broke down in tears as he talked about how there was no cure for homosexuality.
It's fluid within this spectrum.
When he said, "I don't think you're gay," did you feel relieved at hearing that? You're thinking, okay, maybe I'm not.
Yes, I was praying that I was not. I didn't want to believe that I was. How do you cure being gay? There is no cure. And for all of those out there that are struggling in this same spot, there is no cure.
But that's part of why you're speaking.
Yes, it is. It is the reason why I'm speaking. This is absolutely not a choice. And I wish my wife knew that. I wish that more than anything.
Oh, my God. That is emotional, right? Like, did you feel hearing that?
Yeah, I think it's something that... It is emotional, and for someone, I'm not his age, but I can only imagine kind of coming out later in life, and you're dealing with the turmoil of kind of trying to accept yourself, and already you're in the situation where you've built a family, and then, you know, your daughter ended up being kidnapped for, what is it, 9 months? It's the scariest thing, and so now you're trying to be like, well, we just got our family back, Shear, and now I want to live my truth. So it's like, it's very complicated, nuanced situation that is only, you know, pertaining to him, but my heart goes out for him because it is true where it's, you know, there is no cure for it. And if he's been struggling in that way and he's turned to church, I think a lot of LGBTQ people that have been raised in religion mm-hmm. can really, you know, actually relate to that.
Yeah, and of course he was referencing his wife, Lois. They were married for 34 years. He has 6 kids with her before they split. And she feels like his sexuality is a betrayal, and he even turned to church leaders in a search for a fix.
Wow.
He said, "I went to therapists, I went to my church leaders, literally called my bishop up one morning and I said, you know, I feel like I've stabbed Lois in the heart. And I went to my other church leader and I said to him, so am I gay? Am I gay? And he said to me, I don't think so. He said, you know, there's this spectrum and it's fluid within this spectrum. So it seems like he was getting a lot of opinions from everyone else, but in the end, he had to go back to himself and what he felt was true for himself, and he's found that, but it's still hard.
I mean, of course, it's going to be hard for, like I said, someone that's coming out later in life like this, and already the family dynamics are very, you know, strained. It's going to be difficult, but I wish him nothing but
a lot
of
courage.
You know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. So let's move on to a crazy story coming out of Walmart.
Wait, this is my favorite story ever.
Okay, so a Christmas sweater went viral because of an apparent drug reference. So Walmart Canada is saying that it's no longer available, but we're going to post actually the picture on our Instagram.
We sure will.
At LGT Show. Go there. It'll be on our Insta story or on Instagram. It'll be somewhere there, right?
It'll be on our Insta story.
At LGT Show is our Instagram.
Did you forget the name of our show?
A lot of letters. At LGT Show. The sweater features an image of Santa Claus behind a table with...
Hey, Shira, this is Walmart Canada. This is your
country.
You know, we're progressive.
I don't know. Are you?
So
it says, "Let it snow." That's what I'll first say. So, and Santa Claus is behind a table with 3 white lines.
Looking a little sketched out. I'm not going to lie to you.
He looks a bit creepy. He looks like he's been having some fun. And a lot of people were saying that the lines look similar to cocaine lines, which it's hard not to think that. Because it says, "Let it snow" at the front of the table. Then there's a mountain of little balls of snow.
Yeah.
And then there's 3 white lines. Like, why would there be 3 white lines? I think a company just thought, like, hey, let's see if we'll make it through and if they're actually going to buy this without noticing. And They made it through until it hit the internet.
I wonder, I hope a lot of people bought it before, and I hope it's still shipped to them, because I would love to have this Christmas sweater. I'm not going to lie to you. It's pretty hilarious.
It was sold by a third-party seller on walmart.ca. It doesn't represent Walmart, they're saying.
That is
hilarious. But I'm sure you can find it somewhere on the internet at this point. Okay, we're going to be getting into that ACT, SAT story and a bunch of students suing UC. That's going to be coming up in the next hour on What's Trending in the News, top of the hour. But coming up next, a new book that wants to be the Harry Potter for queers. The book is called Reverie, and author Ryan LaSala is joining us right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Joining us right now is author Ryan LaSala, who right now has a book out called Reverie. It's a cross between Inception and RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay, I need to find out what this is all about.
There's way too many things happening already. It's kind of crazy, but one of my favorite things here, everyone knows this about me, is RuPaul's Drag Race is like my life, and also that this the author's name is Ryan.
Yes.
So, Shira, this is meant to be.
Yes. So Ryan, can you explain what this book is all about? Because, yes, there's a lot there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it is a lot. I have always been a lot. So when I wrote a book, kind of decided to keep the trend going.
Yes.
And the book's about a young queer kid named Kane who's growing up in Connecticut. And I know, like, I could probably stop there because everyone loves books set in Connecticut. But I'll tell you the rest. It's about his battle with a drag queen sorceress who's trying to, like, disassemble his reality and create her own one based off of, like, the dreams of people that are taking over the town.
Fabulous.
So what, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say it like this, but what in your right mind makes you come up with something like this? Like, what were you doing when you were like, oh my God, this genius idea just pops up in your brain?
Look, I wish I could explain this, but my most honest answer is I was reading a lot of stuff in high school when I started this book, and I was like shocked that like there just were no gay characters and like Divergent and like the Hunger Games. I was like, what happened to us? Like, where did we go in the future? And so I quite literally set out with the goal of writing the gayest story I could because I wanted to entertain myself, and I added in sort of all the things that like I love about stories and adventure, and that included drag queens. And this is sort of what I came up with. And for a long time, I was like, no one's going to want to read this but me. So imagine my shock to be, you know, publishing it, being interviewed about it. It's very weird.
That's amazing. Yeah. And have you always written about the cross-section of fantasy, science fiction, and queer life in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. This is my first and only book, but a lot of my other projects are also very much like sitting at the crossroads between like how a queer person would adapt to the world of science fiction and fantasy, or what they would do in very similar situations, basically putting them in stories that they haven't really gotten to explore before.
Yeah, I think that's amazing because there's obviously not a lot out there. I mean, if we look at all those books that have even been adapted into movies and all the big franchises, it's very much from hetero perspective, right? And so tell us about what you're trying to do with all of this, because I'm sure you were inspired by all those books from the past.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I fundamentally believe that like a lot of these stories that like we love would be taken care of real quick if a gay person was like sitting in the seat of like Harry Potter or somebody else. I just think that we go about things differently. And I think that like queer people were like masters of adaptation and transformation. And so I wanted to write a story in which like the characters quite literally have to transform depending on the different worlds that they're in. I think that's like a really incredible power and like a point of resilience for the queer community. And so I wanted to literally like design a hero around that. Like, this is not like your super hot, like handsome guy who picks up a sword and like saves the day. Like the main character, his name's Kane, is very much like who I was when I was a teenager, but sort of like gloomy, introspective kid that's just trying to figure it out. And like their main power, like his main ability, is just understanding other people, empathizing with them, and sort of getting to the bottom of why these dreams are manifesting and sort of what inspires them.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we hear conversations about inclusivity and diversity happening all over Hollywood and just integrated into, you know, spaces, especially now the book world, which is where you're coming from. How important was it for you to make sure your characters are, even writing these characters, have kind of true meaning to them so anyone can read it and find some type of relatability?
It was 100% a huge priority. I never swayed from wanting this story to be the story that it is. That's, I think, why it took me so long to kind of find the right home for it. Like, I finished it and spent years looking for like an agent, for an editor, and things kind of turned around quickly. But it did take the industry deciding that, oh, these stories are entertaining, people will buy this. But I was there the whole time when it wasn't popular.
Yeah. And you had a hard time, I'm sure, publishing this. Can you tell us about that journey and how you got through it?
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, like, the whole aspect of a drag queen villain or, like, a sorceress, I downplayed that. It was always part of the book, but I used to, like, not tell people because I was like, they're going to read the book and they're going to see that, like, I can actually write really well and, like, I'll trick people into being like, I guess we'll deal with a drag queen sorceress and, like, edits or something like that. Like, it really did occur to me as, like, a major blocker. And so I downplayed elements of that and sort of the queerness of it. And a lot of people were like, you're not going to get something, you know, published. Or if you do, it's not going to be commercially viable. Like, you're not going to get, like, a big treatment from a publishing house. Like, you're not going to get money for this. No one's going to buy it, was sort of the underpinning of a lot of, like, the pushback that I got. But yeah. I don't know. I was buying books. I wanted these things. I have money. Like, I very much did not buy into that. And so I was probably a little bit headstrong. I'm very stubborn as a person. And
most Ryans are.
Just kept going.
Most Ryans are. I'm not going to lie to you.
So that's amazing. But so what was the turning point for it to finally get published?
Honestly, Twitter.com. There's a huge, like, publishing community on Twitter, and
there
a lot
is.
Of people.
Book,
like,
Twitter is actually very
people.
Lit. I love book
yeah,
Twitter.
Yeah, no, it's, like, it's great. Like, and basically, this agent, Beth Phelan, she's awesome, put together a Twitter pitching contest so that people like me who have underrepresented voices in, like, publishing could tweet out, like, a line from their book or, like, basically, like, a pitch for their book. And that's actually how I found my agent. Like, my agent found me on Twitter.
Wow.
My editor found me, like, via my Twitter presence. Like, it was these people that, like, they weren't looking to, like, traditional publishing. They were looking at, like, people that were, like, at the forefront of, like, digital activism, things like that. And that's how I found, like, all of the people that eventually became, like, my team.
So that brings us to, obviously, we're going to close this out, but what advice, you know, do you have for other writers in that are trying to get into the space that would normally not traditionally be, like, you know, trying to dive into the publishing world?
Yeah, I would tell them you have to prioritize your authenticity and see who resonates with that. If you get by sort of, like, downplaying certain parts of yourself, eventually the success that you get is not going to necessarily feel great. Or it might, but it's not necessarily, like, the success that you might want for yourself or the work that you're doing. And so I always tell people, like, just sort of lead with yourself and sort of your own, like, very self-indulgent idea of the kind of author or the artist that you want to be. Like, see who that strikes a chord with and stick with those people because they're going to become your family.
That's
amazing.
I want this book. Can you send us this book,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, you need to send us a signed copy.
I will. I'm surrounded by, like, boxes of it right now because they all, like, go through my apartment for signing. So, yeah, I'm like, I will send you a few.
Great. And of course, it's a reminder for everyone, Reverie, it's out right now. Again, an inspirational story that's a bit of outside the box that shows teens and queer people that there could be a hero of any story. And that's really what you're doing here. Thank you so much for joining us, Ryan LaSella.
Thank you so much.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Now, the holidays can be a struggle. I mean, you have to see your family. You have to take inventory of all the things you did or didn't do over the year.
It can be just very triggering for a lot of different people. It's a very intersectional thing for LGBTQ people, for people of color, for, I mean, literally anyone, especially specifically what we're about to talk about now.
Yeah, if you struggle with addiction, the holidays can be challenging. And
I mean, holiday parties, Shira. You can't even drink at a holiday party.
And it's hard to make it through and stay sober for a lot of people. So we have someone joining us to help us get through this topic, Dr. Adi Jaffe, who's a nationally recognized expert on mental health, addiction, and stigma. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. Let's talk about holiday relapse. What is holiday relapse, and why is it something that no one talks about?
Sure. So first of all, I love your intro. You know, look, let's be honest about it. We have all these great movies about the holidays and how beautiful it is to see your whole family, but a lot of us struggle when it comes time to actually engage, to go to all the parties, to go see our parents, our uncles, our, you know, siblings, whatever your specific situation might be.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the work that I do, we definitely focus on addiction. But drinking becomes exacerbated for everybody around the holidays, right?
Yeah.
When you're having that weird conversation with your aunt that always seems to ask you that really inappropriate question that you tried to get away from 8 years in a row. An extra glass of wine or an extra shot or whatever it is that does the trick for you just makes that really uncomfortable, awkward moment easier. And a lot of the people that I work with, whether they're completely sober or just struggle with maintaining control over their substance use, this is a really hot button time period for them throughout the entire year.
Well, yeah, because it does feel like this is, you know, and you said it so, you know, like just perfectly, about the idea of being in the holidays kind of being this trigger moment for some a lot of people because you're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be feeling kind of this holiday cheer. But if you look at your real life and your life, it may not add up to all of that. So it's kind of like, how do you balance maybe even possibly being alone? And that's even triggering and making you want to go back into some to doing things that would reflect your sober life.
So true. And, you know, having gone to and had many, many friends who had to come out, were LGBTQ in high school and college, that process is A, not easy, B, oftentimes can lead to a lot of conflict within family. And so what a lot of people don't think about when you go back home, let's say you live out away from home, it doesn't matter if you live a few hours away, if you live on the other side of the country, on the other side of the world, when you go back home, the same people, the same home, especially if that's true, the same friends, the same neighborhood, the same drive to your house. What happens is your brain responds and comes back to that old time, right? It sees the cues, we sometimes call them triggers, in your mind, and it goes, oh, I remember this house. Oh, I remember my mom opening the door. I remember this kitchen table or, you know, whatever the other triggers are. And it takes you back literally in your head, it takes you back to that same time period, which can be so challenging for people because you don't want to act like a 16-year-old. But last time when you were living at home, one of the most traumatic things maybe that happened was these huge fights and feeling misunderstood and feeling spoken down to. And now you're back in the kind of scene of the crime, right?
Yeah.
And it all floods back.
And I'm sure the feeling is that, oh, maybe it's the holidays. It's just this one time I'll have a drink again or do something else, right? Because I'm going through a stressful time. But when I get home after the new year, it'll be better, which is obviously not the solution, including if you have an addiction issues or you're in recovery.
Yeah.
So I guess what are those signs, those red flags of relapse for people who are in recovery?
I love that. So first of all, the way I know it, most people don't say, well, maybe I'll just have one drink. A lot of people kind of get to this place where they say, you know, forget it. I'm gonna give up not drinking because it got too stressful, or they just got triggered and it was automatic for them. So that's something that's important to keep in mind. And the reason that I say that is what I'm about to say in terms of the tips is really about giving yourself more space to have that emotional reaction, to have the triggering moment without it being unexpected and sort of come out of nowhere. So many people don't put any thought into what their experience in their family's or friends' holiday party is going to be like, or the dinner. And I always tell people, you know, this comes out of exposure therapy around phobias. Running away from the fear that you have that it's going to suck is not the right attitude, right? What you actually want to do instead is you want to prepare. And I'm going to give a few different tips on how to prepare. But one of the big ones is I have people play out what they actually want the dinner or the party to look like. What do I mean by that?
Dr. Adi, we're going to continue this because we got to go to a quick commercial break. But we would love to hear more about those strategies and why people aren't talking about holiday relapse enough. So we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
We are back with Dr. Adi Jaffe as we talk about holiday relapse right now and what people can do about it.
So, Dr. Adi, are you there? Oh, perfect. Just want to make sure you're there. I'm like, there he is. So why do you think people aren't speaking about holiday relapse enough? Because it is something that is real, but it seems like it's not a part of any of the conversations.
Well, the reason is because we look at success and failure when it comes to addiction or alcohol problems as a binary thing. You're either successful or you're failing, right? Mm. And so take somebody who's been sober for any period of time, 30, 40 days, 60 days, 3 years. When they slip up, there's not gradations of level. It's not like they're still getting an A, but they're not just getting a solid A or an A minus in their recovery. Now they've just failed, right? And we don't exactly live in the kind of world where we like to publicly talk about our failures. And so that's actually something I work a lot on with people for them to understand that slip-ups are not failures. You know, some of the best successes in the world take some slipping up and some lack of perfection.
Yeah, and I feel like all over the holidays, there's a lot of shame around bringing that up to family or friends because you don't want to be that person, right? You don't want to bring everyone down over the holidays. So that could be a lot. Yeah. It also, and in this article that inspired us to cover this topic today from Psychology Today, it said self-reporting from clients, this doctor was saying, also seems to indicate the holidays are a high time of relapse, and that even treatment, they see an increase in admissions after New Year's, which I find fascinating.
Highest rates of relapse. I've been doing this for 12, 13 years. And we just had a group this afternoon, and I told everybody, hey, just be aware. This is that season that things happen. People don't report slip-ups because, again, they think you're going to think of them as failures. They definitely don't want to be a burden. They try to cover it up and get it together on their own. It just doesn't always work.
So let's get into these anti-relapse strategies, because we've talked about a lot of this happening. Let's go into the positivity actions and what people can do.
So two things. First of all, create an actual plan. I literally do an imagination exercise with my clients. What do you want that evening to look like? And I'm not talking broad strokes. I say literally create a movie in your head of what you want the night to look like. You'll have to come up with strategies of how to deal with your aunt and your uncle and your mom and the weird cousin that runs around, because they're going to be in your movie in your head, and you have to come up with the tactics to actually deal with them. So that's one thing. Literally play out the dialogue that you really want to have. If you don't prepare, we all know this for life, right? If you don't prepare and you don't practice, you're going to get what you get in the moment. Mm. If you do prepare and you come with some dialogue, some text, some actual ideas of, okay, here's how I'm going to deal with my aunt's weird question, you'll do better. That's number one. Number two, which is really important, have a plan B. A lot of people don't plan for what happens when they get really angry or really triggered or really anxious or really stressed out. So they have nowhere to go. They can't think of anything. And then typically, unfortunately, that can be the moment where they do something that they're going to regret later. That's a second. And another tip, I talk to a lot of people who travel for their family, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever, holiday, shindig.
Yeah.
If being with your parents and living with them in their house or your sister or whatever that is really, really triggering, don't. So many people get guilt tripped into staying with their family, even though they know it's a disaster. Go get a hotel. Yes, you'll have an uncomfortable conversation with your mom or your dad about it, but that is much better than just deciding to pick up a bottle of wine and just going into the closet and drinking.
Yeah, no, that's true. Hopefully you have money to do that, or just find someone that's a friend of yours that'll let you sleep on their couch, or which goes back to kind of getting, you know, that support network ready even before you're in that situation. So, and I know that's why people do different programs, so they have that accountability when they're stuck in situations like this.
100%. 100%.
And plan your time wisely. This is all from, you know, this article, of course. And I think also me and Ryan talk about this a lot too. In our daily lives, even though we're not necessarily going through our recovery. But I think I've been in places where I've drank too much over the holidays, or I have been around or dated an addict, and it is very challenging.
Yeah, it definitely can be. You know, in my book, The Abstinence Myth, I talk about the fact that people seem to think that not drinking or the length of abstinence you have has a direct correlation to how well you're doing in your recovery. And especially if you've known somebody, that is not necessarily true. There's a lot of deeper work that has to be done for a lot of people, not everybody, but for a lot of people who struggle with alcohol or drugs. The problem is that the holidays really stir up those issues. And so even if you have been sober, whatever term you want to use for your recovery, these things poke at you, right? It's like poking a sleeping bear. And then if you haven't dealt with the issues themselves, this can be really troubling.
All right. Well, Dr. Adi Jaffe, thank you so much again for joining us. Where can people find you? I know I just followed you on Instagram.
Yeah, Dr. Adi Jaffe on Instagram. That's also my Facebook handle. It's also my Twitter handle and my LinkedIn. So I try to keep it all consistent for you all. And then adijaffe.com is probably the other really good place.
Awesome. Well, thank you and happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. Ryan, we got to establish our boundaries.
Yes, we do.
During the holidays. Coming up, a new show is launching from our favorite drag star. We'll give you all the details next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, let's get into some what's trending in the news right now. Top of the hour. Right now, I think we have a Lizzo, though, giveaway first.
Oh, we do.
Yes, it's always before what's trending in the news. I got to stop myself before getting into the headlines.
So visit WeAreChannelQ.com for your chance to win a trip for two to Vegas with airfare, hotel tickets, plus a meet and greet with Lizzo. It's an online contest only. Literally, you can find all the details on WeAreChannelQ.com.
Okay, let's get into it. Shangela, our favorite. She had a big year. A Star Is Born, of course, always from RuPaul's Drag Race. She has her own TV show now, but so does Willem. Willem is getting a show launching in April 2020. It's called Fashion's a Drag. It's going to be a hosted show coming to the platform. It's a new platform called Quibi. And it says that it's the first mobile streaming service or mobile first streaming service. And already has announced some big projects with both Lena Waithe and Sasha Velour and many others. I mean, every day it seems like they're announcing a new show. We'll see if it actually works.
Yeah, Quibi's that new $1 billion platform or something.
Yeah, started by Katzenberg. He was the head of DreamWorks.
It's going to be cool.
It is. Would you pay more money for Quibi?
I'm not paying for anything else. I pay for enough streaming services. So I'm not really sure. Hopefully, because they're putting a lot of money into this. So hopefully it works out.
I mean, yeah, at least these people will be getting their checks. Their checks will clear before the whole thing falls apart.
For sure.
So the show that Willem is doing is being created in collaboration with Hearst Originals. It's the video arm of Hearst Magazines. You know, they do Bizarre, Elle, and more. And then Willem, as well as a few other drag queens and drag experts from Elle, will run down fashion trends and news. This is what Willem had to say. People have looked up to drag queens for style cues for years, and that's not just a joke about men being taller in heels and wigs. So she's very excited about this, and she says, and since red carpets need a recapping, Quibi decided to give me a show, which will utilize the two things I'm known for, my style and my mouth. Get ready to salute and dispute each week with me and my fabulous friends. Sounds like Fashion Police with Willem.
I think that's what that is. It sounds basically like that, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see what it's like. We should have her on our show, though. Definitely to promote this.
Well, I think we're actually supposed to soon.
At the very least.
Yeah, I think we're actually supposed to.
Let's get into the story about the SATs and ACTs that we talked about earlier in the show. California students are suing the UC system for requiring the SAT and ACT. Wish we were that smart to sue the system. Instead, we just did the tests.
I mean, yeah, actually, you're true. I didn't take the SAT, though. I took the ACT.
You didn't? Wait, what's the difference?
They're different. They're both judged. Like, SATs are judged by, like, 1,000 numbers, and ACTs, like, the 36 is, like, the best you can do, I believe. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what's really different about it. It's just different systems.
I had to do it to get into, the university. I was in Canada at the time. So a coalition made up of students, organizations, and Compton Unified School District is suing the University of California for requiring prospective students to submit their SAT and ACT scores, tests that the group call highly and demonstrably discriminatory against minority, multilingual, and low-income students, as well as students with disabilities. That comes after multiple top UC officials announced their own opposition to the use of these standardized tests, and that could start a really big legal battle over the admissions process at the largest state college system in the country. So this is a big deal because this is something a lot of people have been talking about behind closed doors, but finally, people are doing something about it.
Right.
Yeah, the lawsuits come as the University of California performs an in-depth review itself of research into whether SAT and ACT test scores accurately predict success. Well, what do you think? Do you think they accurately predict success?
I don't know. I think standardized tests, they just do nothing but give kids anxiety. And I think that's the first intro to anxiety and dealing with that stuff, like, for a lot of kids, especially ones that have just like educational disabilities, like dyslexia and things like that. It just doesn't work for them. And I think it doesn't really do any justice, especially if you're thinking about where kids are placed when it comes to their neighborhoods and where they're going to school, if they're being taught the same thing. So it just really depends.
Well, yeah, it needs to rely on the school either to give them that support and information.
Yeah, because I was able to do, like, training, like ACT.
Exactly.
But people can't afford that.
It costs money. You have to be tutored to be able to do it properly, unless you're a genius. And we do hear about all the stories about these geniuses that come out of these areas and that, like, blow everyone away. They're the top of the class. But that's not every day. Like, different areas, like they're mentioning, that are low-income areas that come out and they're like, oh, this person, or homeless youth that end up blowing everyone away. Like, you see those viral stories where, like, this homeless youth ended up getting into every major Ivy League and did it themselves. But that's a rarity. Come on. I mean, that barely happens. So we can't rely on that. Everyone should be given a shot. And if they're not going to be given a shot, let's take these away. So coming up, we're getting into the holidays. We've been talking a lot about holidays and triggers that happen. Well, when you're dating someone, including when you're dating someone of a different religion, it can be nerve-wracking to celebrate the holidays with their parents. So we're going to get into doing the holidays, and like, what do you do if you're forced into a religious holiday with your partner's family? Should you go with it, or should you say, no way, Jose, I'm doing my own thing? We're getting into that next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we're getting into a holiday-themed Q of the day. And this comes from the advice column archives. We love to go into the advice columns and find interesting questions that we bring up on the show. So this one comes from a woman who says, my boyfriend's religious parents want me to go to Christmas services, but I don't share their faith. Should I go? Now, Ryan, what would you do if you were in this situation?
It's a tough one. I mean, I think at one point in time, I would have said, like being from the South, I would have probably said maybe you shouldn't be dating someone that you don't have the same religious background with, because that can just be very difficult.
Yeah.
But I think where I am now and where I view religion, and I'm not in the middle of it like I was. So it's like not super controlling of my life as it once was. I wouldn't mind, to be quite honest. I think I'm a little bit more open to people with differing religious backgrounds, as long as you're kind of not like an atheist, in my opinion. Like, you can be if you want, you know, personally. But for me, I don't know if I could ever be in a relationship with someone that's an atheist.
You can't be with someone who's an atheist?
No.
What if they're more spiritual than religious?
Well, I mean, but being an atheist means you don't believe in, like, a God or any of that stuff, right?
But spirituality means energy. You don't... I mean,
but that's the same thing. You don't believe in any of that stuff, in my opinion.
As an atheist?
How
I think it's more you're just not into organized religion. But
I don't know. I don't know. For me, how it's always been explained to me, it's like you just don't, and I don't necessarily believe in organized religion either, but I think it to not believe in anything just feels like, I don't know if I could normally kind of, you know, gel with that. So for me, it would be weird. I think I would probably do it out of respect for the parent, for the parents in the situation, because it's a holidays. You're literally probably seeing them that once every blue moon, you know, and doing it every once blue moon. But I don't know.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
I feel like if you're maybe forces you something every week, sometimes that could be hard. I think that when you're looking at religion, you have to look at more, for me, because I've dated someone that wasn't Jewish, and I went to Christmas Eve service with my ex, and I actually loved it. I found the thing I could connect with it, which I love the singing, I love the warmth, I love the love, and when the, what's the main guy at a church would do the whole speech? The pastor. The pastor.
The sermon. Not the speech, but the sermon.
Would do the whole sermon.
Yeah.
Obviously, there were some things I didn't identify with, like maybe when it related to how they view God or the religious aspect. But there's always ways to look at it as metaphors for life. And I feel like that is more the way to look at it if you're not going to create tension.
Like that,
no,
though.
I'm saying that helped me because then I was able to enjoy it for what it was for me versus create these divisions around it where it's like, I feel uncomfortable because they believe in something else. Like, I've also dated a Scientologist. That was a hard one.
Well,
that Scientologist is the hard one because... But
that's just weird. I would never... Like, that's like along the lines. And here's the thing. I think for me, and the reason why I'm so like stern on the idea of like, I don't need to date someone that is like a Christian or anything. Like, to be honest, like, I'd rather date someone that is more spiritual than anything. But the idea of just dating like... just not believing in anything. It's just like, okay, what does that really mean? And I think that's the only way that, and the way I was raised, I feel like that's what's kind of concrete inside of me. And it would be tough to kind of, I don't know, compromise.
Well,
that
atheists, and if someone's an atheist that's listening, please call.
Please,
because help us understand. Because they don't believe in a God, but they still are spiritual. So
how do you know that, though?
Because the definition of atheist is that they don't believe in God. But in this question, the reason why I said...
Are they still spiritual?
They said,
put the question
out. This person said, I did not grow up in a spiritual household. My parents are both atheists and scientists.
Mm.
I guess if you're an atheist, you might not be spiritual.
Yeah,
you might just believe
nothing.
There's nothing at the end of that tunnel.
Exactly. And so I think that's the interesting thing where it's like, I think it gets complicated when you have kids. Like, what are you going to teach?
That's
because it's not being just a Christian and versus being a Jewish person. Like, being Jewish, it's like, at that point, it can be just very complicated. And I think religion, especially how religion has impacted me in certain ways, it's been very anxiety filled. It would be difficult for me to say, Yeah, let's do it all the time. But for one Christmas service, maybe I would go and just in one ear out the other. But I don't know. Even then, I would suggest if it gives you anxiety, don't do it.
Yeah.
Not anything that messes up your mental health.
Well, yeah. You shouldn't be obligated, but let's be clear. If you're in a relationship and you believe in that relationship and you want to be there for your partner, it does help if you're willing to go there and share those moments, because those are special moments.
But what about your boundaries, though?
I mean, that's the balance.
Relationships are all about compromising, right? And so the idea of, like, you can set your boundaries while still showing that, hey, I'm going to be there for you and show up for your parents and all that stuff, but I shouldn't have to feel obligated to participate in stuff that doesn't make me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Because what if they're just sitting there miserable?
Well, yeah, but then it's like, I'm trying to find the positivity in it. Like, how can you find the enjoy? That's not even a word. The joy. I'm just going to go to that.
I think that's just the word.
The way to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so I want to get into that after this. And also, we did a poll, because we do our polls on social media, and we asked you, should you be obligated to participate in the religious traditions of your partner's family if you don't share their faith? And we'll be getting into those results right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we've been getting into our Q of the day. Should you be obligated to participate in the religious traditions of your family's or your partner's family if you don't share their faith? And we're about to get into our poll and the results that we had on social media. But in the meantime, we have Nakisha Michelle joining us, aka Nazira, who actually has spoken out about her own experience being with someone who's of another faith and how they deal with it, including during the holidays. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, we're happy to get your thoughts on it because you have this experience. So tell us how you've decided to, I guess, handle the holidays, and who are you with? You and what's your religion?
Okay, so my religion is Christianity.
Okay.
And I'm non-denomination. And my husband's religion is Islam, and he is a Nigerian Muslim, so it's a little bit more stricter.
Yeah.
So we've been together for 7 years now.
Congrats.
All right, that is a long time to be with somebody, honey.
It is a long time.
And so has the religion ever been a source of tension, including as it relates to the holidays?
Yes, it has. We had to learn how to get in the flow of what we were going to make the holidays mean for us, if anything. So it was a challenge, but I think we finally got our groove.
So what is some of your advice for couples listening where they may have differing, religions like you, and they're visiting families and they have to be comfortable because everyone has their own religious traditions?
Yes. So one of the things I say is you definitely... compromise is a big word, but you have to make it what makes it feel good for the two of you. What are you willing to give up and give for the sake of your love? You have to discuss it. And also remembering that you don't have to celebrate everything together. Sometimes we feel like, well, we're together and we should be together for all the holidays, but you don't have to be. Pick and choose. So me and my husband, we picked and chose which ones were very significant, and we taught each other how to act during those times.
Mm. Wow. So you have to have obviously an open mind, and in many ways, I also feel like it could feel at first like a loss, like you could feel a bit lonely. So how did you get through that?
You do feel lonely, and sometimes you do go in your head, well, did I settle? Should I have married someone or, chosen someone with the same beliefs? But then it's an opportunity of growth and exploration. And when you can grow through things, it makes the relationship even more sexier.
So did y'all talk about this before y'all got married, or was this like in the middle of the marriage and you're just like, oh, the holidays are here, we got to talk about this?
It was in the middle of the marriage. The first time he did not take me home to see my grandmother for Thanksgiving, it was a battle.
Oh, man. You missed out on the turkey, the ham, the mac and cheese, all that?
All of that. Can you imagine how angry I was? And I'm a plus-size woman, too. I like to eat.
Come on. You know, same over here, honey.
How did you get through that challenge right off the bat?
he had to make it up to me. He had to make it up to me. And then that is when we literally said, okay, we got to sit down and talk about this because these things are important to me and my family. And he's like, well, I don't even understand it. So then I realized a lot of this is about education.
Well, thank you so much for being with us to share your story today. I'm sure it helped a lot of people going through similar things. Nikisha Michelle, a.k.a. Nazira, where can people find you?
You can definitely find me on IG at The Ready Woman.
The Ready Woman.
The Ready Woman. Come
the
on.
The Ready Woman.
She ready.
That's amazing.
Are you ready?
Well, thank you again and have a great holiday season.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Look at that. I love a personal experience.
I do too. You know, and I love how they were able to make it work because it does prove that it can happen. But I don't think I would do it while I'm in the marriage. I would have to talk about it before the marriage because I don't want to say my vows and get married to somebody being like, oh, now we got to talk about this, huh?
Well, typically you'd have to talk about it because if you're getting in the wedding, that involves religion. And you need to figure out how that's going to work with all the families there together.
Well, when we get back, we're going to dive into the poll of our responses because, honey, y'all on social media at LGT Show, y'all are really going in. So we'll be right back.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we're going to the results of our poll on social media. We asked you, should you be obligated to participate in the religious traditions of your partner's family if you don't share their faith? And Ryan, what are those results?
Yeah, producer Lowe. I want you to choose this.
Oh.
Producer Lauren.
We got another producer in the house.
I have to, basically, when we do polls, I'd say two numbers, 19%, 81%. Stop looking at the screen. You're cheating, producer Lo. She over here cheating. Everyone think, is it yes or is it no? Shira, what do you think? Are most people saying yes to this question? Are most people saying no to this question?
No, people are saying no.
What about you, producer Lo? You can still guess even though you cheated.
What was your instinct?
What was your instinct?
Wait, repeat the question.
So the question of the day. Wow, she's been sitting here the entire show. I ain't been listening to nuts.
She's distracted by your beauty.
Should you be obligated to participate in the religious traditions of your partner's family if you don't share their faith? Come over to the mic. I'm putting producer Lauren. She's a new one that we're training here. Here we go. What do you think? Yes or no? Do you think people say yes or no?
Well, my opinion, no. So I'm just going to go with no.
All right, well, Shira, what did you say?
I said no.
You said no?
We got two no's.
All right, we got two no's. 733 votes. People said 81% is no. They should not be obligated. People should not be obligated, which is actually, I agree. And I don't know who that 19% is, but honestly, they are controlling and they might not need to be in relationships.
They might be old school. People that are old school, I feel like there's more of that obligation.
Which is the thing. I think sometimes, though, you have to be careful with the idea of being old school because it can also come off as like just dated and also kind of controlling.
There's some of the old school I like. Like, I like myself a gentleman.
Okay, I like that.
I haven't necessarily experienced that recently, but if you're out there, I've imagined you in my dreams and when I watch movies, it seems like you're somewhere out there.
No, I love that for us.
Exactly, we both deserve in 2020.
For sure.
Okay, well, that does it for today's show, but we will be back tomorrow, same time, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Channel Q. Again, if you miss any of our shows throughout the week, don't you worry, because we put them up as a podcast. On our site, we are channelq.com and wherever podcasts are available. But we have some big convos happening tomorrow, don't we?
Yeah, sure. Super excited about them.
Yeah, well, just as I am always, you hear the enthusiasm. Yeah. Actually, as our show happened, Trump made a pretty bold move. Mm-hmm. He signed an executive order making Judaism into a nationality, not just a religion. This is going to be a big topic, very controversial, very pro-Israel, actually. So we're going to get into the implications of that.
I mean, to be honest, I don't really know, and I think a lot of the conversation is, do people consider being a Jewish a nationality or a religion?
It's complicated.
And I think that's the thing where that can also be rooted. And you also have to be very tricky. It's very touchy when you're having conversations like this because you don't want to be, you know, labeled anti-Semitic. But I'm happy that we're going to be having those conversations because for me, when I was growing up, I literally only knew one Jewish person. And
now you know me.
I know more Jewish people than you.
Damn it.
I met someone when I first moved out here, and they were around, like, they grew up kind of around the same area that I did, and she would tell me that she would actually get bullied for being Jewish and in the South. And so it was interesting to hear that perspective, because I honestly just thought it was a religion. I never knew about it being a nationality, so this could be a huge thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, or the idea of its connection to Israel, which is what's really having a lot of people talk right now and fight. The fights continue, and it is very complicated. It's not a simple solution. I think Trump thinks by doing this, he's going to solve a very complex problem. And the big question is it going to help solve anti-Semitism? He thinks so, like on college campuses where they're anti-Israel, or will this create more division?
But Trump also thinks a lot, to be honest. And
of course.
I don't necessarily take his brain to be the one that's the best.
He also might think this is a way of getting I hate to say that group of people, because
of
a lot of
me?
Jews are anti Obama because he wasn't as pro-Israel, but he was, he was wanted a solution. He wanted people to.
Wait, we're getting too much in it. We're getting.
I know. We're gonna get. As you can see, we go there. Let's go to the lighter topic that we'll be getting into, which is about some of us might be still hooking up with our exes, at least in our minds, in the fantasy standpoint. Mm-hmm. Some of us. So we're gonna talk about that on tomorrow's show. Let's go there with Shira and Ryan on Channel Q. Now we are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
See you tomorrow and stay tuned for Loveline with Dr. Chris right after this.